Hello, this is the GFA Internal Podcast. This is the second that we have recorded that is directed at the ladies of GFA. So we are here today and our topic is maximizing profit from our daily Bible reading. And I'm guessing that if all of us had our way, we would love to spend considerably more time during our daily devotions than we currently do. But whether it's children who need to be fed, or a clinic that needs to open, or piano students who are arriving soon, necessity usually puts an end to our morning Bible time before we're quite ready to put the bookmark in and close our Bibles. Rearranging the schedule so we have more time is a great first option, but all our situations around the world are so different that it would be hard to do a podcast on that topic that would be relevant to most of you who are listening. So what this podcast will focus on is asking our panelists to draw from their experiences in reading and studying the Word of God and finding out what strategies have helped them derive maximum profit from the time they invest. So we'll talk about reading schedules and study methods and some of the tools that they've found useful. I have personally been encouraged and really inspired by each one of these panelists as they have spoken publicly or just in private conversations about their own enjoyment that they get out of their personal Bible times. So I am Andrea Crocker. My husband is John Crocker, the executive director and also the regional director for the Americas and Caribbean. And I'll have the other panelists introduce themselves as well. Laura?
I am Laura Berry, and my husband is the director of recruitment.
I'm Jan Patterson, and my husband is regional director for Europe, Middle East, and Africa.
And I'm Jennifer McPhail, and my husband is the regional director for Asia, the Pacific, and Australia, and we also serve as missionaries in Cambodia.
All right, thank you. And Jennifer is actually joining us by Zoom. She's in Cambodia right now. So our first question is, what for a personal devotional time, what are our primary goals for having a personal devotional time? What are we striving to accomplish, to achieve? Jan, why don't you start off?
Well, obviously, to know the Lord better and be conformed to His image. We want to gain understanding of the Bible and just see it as a whole, and we want to see Christ in all of it. We want to grow in love for what God loves, and we want to be moved to pray in fellowship with the Lord about His truth.
As missionaries, I think we often on our different fields face false prophets of various sorts. And one of the things that helps us to combat that false teaching is just a strong understanding of theology. That's one of the things that we get through our personal devotional time, as well as just knowing God. And our knowledge of God is what will prepare us and protect us from all of the trials and struggles that we face on the field, the dangers, toils, and snares. That is what our knowledge of God will help us with.
Yes, all of these things are true. And the verse that comes to my mind when I think about my quiet time is James 4:8. Where it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you, and cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And it just kind of encapsulates all those things we've been mentioning.
Yes. And during personal devotional time, of course, that always includes prayer, and that's a vital part of a rich devotional life. But this particular podcast is focused on studying the Word of God. So let's defend the expectation that a Christian woman's time with the Lord should always include reading from the Bible itself rather than only devotional literature. And probably a lot of all of the listeners already agree with that. I can anticipate that there may be ladies in our ministries that have that question. How would we answer that if someone says, I've really been profiting from this book, and you realize that's the only thing that she's using in her devotional time? How do we defend the expectation that we should be reading from the Bible itself as well? Jan, I've heard you talk about this. Why don't you start us off here?
Well, obviously, we want the Lord to teach us, and we want Him to give us understanding according to what He wants us to learn. We are all learning on different levels and in different areas, and another's thoughts and understanding, even though it can be helpful at times, is applicational. We want to think like God, not like somebody who is interpreting a passage in a devotional book. But again, they can be helpful in other ways. We don't want to make that our devotional time in as far as being in the Word.
I think about the verse in Ephesians 5, it talks about the washing of the water of the Word and the promises that the Bible itself gives to people who spend time meditating on His Word. And those promises are not there for any other literature that's written. The Bible has power in itself. And Laura, what?
So when you want to get to know your husband, you don't get to know your husband by reading other people's books about your husband. I think that is one thing. If one of the highest goals of our devotional life is knowing God, then I think the way to know God is to hear His words and to be in His words, not to be, as other people said, you know, just sort of enjoying the processed food from somebody else, which is good and helpful and can be very profitable. And actually, we can draw great strength from that, too. But to know God is to hear His words, to respond to Him, to have conversation with Him in the morning, to have fellowship with Him. And that conversation is a two-way street. It's you praying and talking to Him. It's Him talking to you through His word.
So there are different methods that we can employ as we approach our Bible reading. Jan, can you give us an overview of different approaches to studying the entire Bible?
Well, there are times we want to scratch the surface, so to speak. We want to read quickly. We want to read all the way through the scripture. We want to look for Christ, or sometimes we're looking for another theme all the way through, and it helps us to work more quickly in order to do that. And then sometimes we want to really have a deeper understanding of what a passage says or what the Lord is trying to teach us. And so we want to just dig deeper. We want to meditate. We want to understand more deeply. We want to understand the greatness and love of God and the specifics of His infinite character. And we do that by spending time and just seeking to go deeper. We get to know Him more deeply.
Yes, I think both methods are necessary because all of Scripture is profitable. It is important that Christians read every word of the Bible regularly. Having a ready familiarity with the entire Bible by doing the overview work, reading through it frequently and repeatedly, that will give you a ready familiarity with the whole book. And that will allow you to recognize patterns as you study deeper, as you park in one place and study out a passage. It will help you in interpreting difficult passages because you will know, okay, that can't be the meaning because I know of these all these other passages and just the whole storyline of Scripture. Putting a difficult passage into that context will be very helpful. For example, studying Hebrews, as I have done 1 year, is fantastic, and it's such a helpful study to just read it over and over. But you will understand Hebrews much better if you've read Leviticus a number of times. So having all of Scripture kind of in your head, in your experience, is very important. It is important to be reading every word of the Bible regularly. So we'll discuss each methodology. We'll start with reading for overview. And Laura, I'd like you to take this one. I know you've read the Bible quickly a few times. There's a helpful book on the topic that I've also read. So could you tell us about the book and about the benefits of reading the Bible quickly?
Sure. So my husband, during COVID, or actually before COVID started, but he finished it during COVID, he wrote a book called 40 Days Through the Bible. And it really is a Bible reading plan to read the entirety of Scripture in 40 days. And it can also be done in 40 weeks. So there is an alternative plan in there. But each chapter is one day, and it goes over that chunk of Scripture. And it just tells you what themes to look for in that chunk of Scripture, what things might come up in that, and kind of gives you an overview so that when you read, you know what you're reading for already. You don't have to read that just to read through the Bible in 40 days. But my family has done this a couple of times. We've done a 25-day Bible reading plan, which was really immersive. It takes a lot of time. We did it over a Christmas break from our seminary schedule in the Philippines. And then a 40-day Bible reading plan, which gives you a lot of extra time. It's not quite as intensive. We did have a coworker who read through the Bible. I forget whether it was 5 days or 7 days. And that is like a 40-hour-a-week task or more than that. But, you know, reading through the whole Bible in a really compact period of time, like Andrea said, gives you the opportunity to trace themes through scripture. And I remember one of the first times I did that, I was really looking at the messianic line and how way back it starts in the book of Genesis. And then you can trace the ancestry of the Messiah all through the Old Testament and then see that come to fruition in the New Testament. Sarah Arnold, who is one of our missionaries in Canada, just recently got done reading the Bible in a short period of time, and she was tracing the theme of emotions through the Bible. And I just think the profitability of that is so helpful. And this seems like an awesome task, but I had a very young child who did this, and he actually read through the entire Bible in 40 days. And we helped him. We found an audio Bible, and he listened to it and he read at the same time. And that kept him kind of focused and moving through the scripture like that. I forget at the time, maybe he was 10 or 11. If a 10-year-old could read through the Bible in 40 days, you can too.
Yes, I found the audio Bible very helpful when I did this plan a couple years ago. Just practically too, as I could not lose my place as I took a drink of coffee. And So yeah, just to listen, have that in my ears while I was following on the page was a helpful way to keep moving through it when you're trying to finish in a short amount of time. So that is overviewing the whole Bible. What are some of the benefits of just parking in one section for a long time and studying it thoroughly? You want to start us off with that, Jennifer?
Sure. I have a story about Dr. Vittori. Just back in January, we were able to sit down at lunch with Dr. and Mrs. Vittori. And Dr. Vittori began to share his heart about the flip side of the highly scheduled, getting a certain amount done in a certain period of time. And he just expressed what a blessing it had been to him in recent months to park in one passage and not leave it until he felt like he had gotten every bit of blessing out of the passage. So no timeline on the digging at all. And he suggested that as one way to really dig in a passage. And to tell you the truth, I've been doing schedules for most of my life. So it was kind of a novel idea to me that you could study without having a beginning time and an ending time for your study. So in February, I parked on Psalm 16, and it was very special to me to be able to just soak through the verses in their units and then in their sections and the entirety, and then memorize the psalm, and then to see how God's timing in using that in my life, just the right month for me to be doing that, was just very special to see. I got to see how God could use his word in my heart in a richer way than I had experienced in recent days.
Yeah, that's great. I don't know that I've ever spent that long in a passage that short. That's a great, that's a great testimony. Jan, could you maybe answer that question as well and then include how you personally incorporate both of these methods into your own devotional time?
Yes. Actually, I did that one time, what Jennifer was talking about on Psalm 139, and I would say, I don't know how long I spent on it. It was a difficult time in my life, and I just stayed there and memorized it, and I feel like it is a part of my fiber. And if you spend time on a book or a passage, it really becomes yours for life. And if it becomes yours for life, it can become your own character and it will form your thinking. The more time we spend on any passage or book in a focused manner, the deeper our absorption of God's truth will be. And of course, Romans 12:2 is our goal, that it would form our character and thinking and that we would be transformed by the renewal of our minds. So as far as both methods, I keep commentary reading at hand all the time in order to look up things that raise questions in my mind. I want to understand what something means. I want to understand the context as far as historically, the customs of the time. So I'll look up things like that in a quick way. I do use a regular, manageable reading schedule. Mine is not the four chapters every day, quite and straight through. Mine switches around different places, and it's easy for me to to manage. It separates the Gospels so that you read one and you read some epistles and then you read another Gospel. And so that way you read through the whole Bible in 1 year, but not more than that on any part. And right now, sometimes I do set aside that. And you just have to let go of your custom, of your wanting to be held to your schedule and keeping up with it. You just have to let go of that. It was hard for me to do that early on. Right now, though, I am spending my Bible time working through my brother Layton's devotional for Easter week booklet. And it's just, it's a chronological synthesis of all of the passages. And it just really helps you see more clearly what Christ went through moment by moment and what people did to him and so forth. And that's really been a helpful thing as we look to Easter this coming Sunday. He also has one for Christmas, and I use that every year for, well, it's only been a couple of years so far, but a Christmas one as well. These things help me focus on the details and the meaning of the major events and just give a deeper understanding. Even this morning, just thinking of what Christ, how he felt and what he was thinking and why he said what he said, those things are really important and helpful, and we can do that with any passage or with any book. So just letting go of your schedule and putting yourself out there for the Lord to, again, transform your thinking.
Yeah. Personally, I have found helpful something my sister told me that one of her professors said when somebody said, how do you make sure that you are reading the whole Bible all the time as you take time to really study passages? How is it that you incorporate the entire Bible? And his answer was, well, I read the Bible in January. So,
yeah,
I haven't done that. I did with Audio Bible do the 40-day plans. That was almost January. But my plan for several years was just start in January and just go as fast as I can. And I usually will finish sometime in April and then use the rest of the year for deeper study. And we'll get into more specifics as far as tools for that later on. Actually, we're on the tool question now. So what do you find helpful when you are just going deep in one passage? What are some of the tools that you have found helpful in that arena? I think Laura and I think everybody maybe had an answer on that. Laura, you want to start us off there?
Sure. So I do similar to Andrea, and I'll take, except that I split it up. So I'll be reading through the Bible, but I'll take time out to do different Bible studies. And some of the tools that I have found most helpful is the Blue Letter Bible online. It has a lot of different versions, translations, even languages. And one of the things I've been doing recently in studying various Psalms is I will actually print out the Bible passage, the Psalm, and then I will print out the Hebrew from the Blue Letter Bible. And then I will also print out the KJV Strong's version of that chapter. And then I'll go through them. And I have this package of highlighters that I got off Amazon. The brand was Mr. Pen, but they have different ones. But it is a low bleed, so it doesn't bleed through your Bible. I also use a journaling Bible, which helps me a lot. I can just mark it up all over and it's wonderful. But I will use those markers to highlight themes or keywords in that psalm in all three of those papers. So I can see the Hebrew. It kind of pops out at you as you look at your paper. You can see where those words are located in that psalm. You can trace those themes through that psalm. And just looking at the repetition, looking at what's at the beginning of the psalm, what's at the end of the psalm, so how does it start and end? Those are keys for understanding the overall theme of that psalm and what that psalm is trying to do in our lives. I've used tools, even just like graph paper, to go through the gospel and to graph out from the different chapters of each gospel. What are the names of Christ being used in these chapters? Who is using those names for Christ? And it's fascinating when you dive into that and you're not just looking at what are the names used, what do they mean, but you're also looking at the fact that, for instance, the disciples call Christ one thing and the demons and Satans call him something different. They like the term Son of God. And then Jesus himself likes the term Son of Man, and he uses that a large portion of the time. And you're looking at the different people. Believers will call him one thing. Unbelievers call him something else. And why are those names being used? What is it portraying? You can almost even see like the shift in the disciples' understanding of who Jesus is by the different terms they're calling him in different chapters of the Bible. It's just amazing. So you can use anything to study the Bible. One of my favorite books, and I don't really read it, I just use the concept, is What Do I Know About My God by Marty Collier. And I've made myself my own sort of, I call it my glory in this journal, but I'm just like glorying in what I know about God. And I have four sections of that journal. And the first one is, who is God? And then the second one is, what does God do? And the third one is, who does God want me to be? And the fourth one is, what does God want me to do? And I'm just, as I'm reading through the Bible, I am copying by hand verses from those different categories. And at the top of my page, I'll have like, God is love, or God is light, or God forgives sins, or God saves, or God creates. And then under that page, I'm hand copying out verses. And for me, the benefit of writing out those verses in full just sort of solidifies it in my brain. And I'm able to carry those through. And then later, when I need passages about why I should not fear, why I should trust God, I can go back to that page and I can read 20 or 30 verses about why Christ is trustworthy and I don't need to fear. And that benefit, not just for me, but for anybody I'm counseling or my children, or when I have to do a Bible study and it's like last minute, Laura, will you please do this Bible study? I'm like, okay, pull out this page, take it to the Bible study, talk through these verses, done. You know, you have all these tools ready and available. So those things have been such a blessing to me, especially as I'm trying to dig deep into like Bible studies of specific passages.
Yeah, it's when you were talking about printing out, it reminded me of what your husband said at the Matt retreat about his cheap Bible that that we are sometimes hesitant to write things in our nice expensive Bibles. So he gets a cheap Bible, but even more, if you print it on your printer paper in double space, you're going to write all over that thing. And that will be, you know, you don't feel any inhibitions about that. So printing it out and even buying those journals that have a whole blank page on one side has been very helpful for me. Jennifer, what tools do you use in going deep in a passage?
I think the journal is just really key for this kind of Bible study. It's not as easy to journal for me when I'm doing big chunks of scripture. But if I really want to make a passage my own that's going to be transforming in my life, using a devotional commentary, some of these Bible tools, or a good study Bible and a journal where I write out my own definition or in my own words what the verses are saying after study, and then my personal response, what I plan to do or an attitude I plan to change. I have in my mind one that I did right before we got married, so I'm going way back, but Titus chapter 2, where I looked at each of the words for older women teaching the younger women and really wrote out what I saw that the word was saying and what my personal response, what I wanted that to be for me as a wife. And it still sticks in my mind now. And I think it has a lot to do with the journaling. And I'm not sure if this fits more with the digging deep or with the overview method. But when Tyler Trometer gave his suggestion about highlighting the promises of God in scripture, that was a really great challenge for me. And I did that over the following year after he gave that testimony at the family conference. And that was really, really great. And I used a Bible that had the wide margins and the highlighters and found that those were very helpful tools.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, more an overview. So yeah.
May I make a comment about that?
Yeah.
I think as missionaries, we are very conscientious about our money, and therefore we're typically very frugal. However, what is more important for us than to be reading and keeping track of what we're reading in our Bible? When I thought of life that way. It turned this light bulb into my brain that there is nothing better for me to spend my money on than a new Bible every year, and to buy a Bible specifically for studying it that year. And I think that has really helped me. You get a beautiful new Bible. This year I got a King James Version wide margin. It's a journaling Bible. It has lines on both sides. There's margins all around the text. And it was under $20. I think it was like 17 something. And that is such a small price to pay for the ability to write everything in that Bible that you learned this year. And I just want to encourage us all. Yes, we may be frugal, but do not penny pinch when it comes to buying your Bible or the tools you need. Maybe that's worth even asking for Christmas each year, just to have that at your fingertips.
Great idea. Jan, in overviewing all of Scripture, what are tools that you use?
Well, I think probably most of us do a lot of these. Number one, a schedule. And there are many out there, and I have one that I have found is manageable for me. I always keep commentaries on hand. I have a couple of my favorite ones that I use, and a concordance. I want to know what the words mean. I want to know what the passage means. I want to know what the customs were, that sort of thing. So I try to do that really in my daily reading time, at least. So I kind of incorporate reading through and digging a little bit deeper. But sometimes a brief devotional can really warm your heart and just set your mind on things above. Sometimes that can be helpful. I don't do it all the time, but I have a couple of them that I like a lot. A schedule gives you a set purpose when you sit down to read. You know where you're going. You're not just opening your Bible. You don't have to necessarily every day get out a whole bunch of different things that you've been working on if you have an early morning or whatever. But I find it helpful to use different Bibles, like Laura was saying. They give a varied take on passages that have become very familiar. I was brought up after I was saved, I was quote-unquote brought up spiritually on the King James Version. So the wealth of new Bibles that are out there and ways of reading the Bible, like online, I've done a chronological Bible, I've done some text-only Bibles, I've done several different study Bibles, as well as the audio Bible, and those things just really round out my understanding, and those are helpful just on a daily basis.
Yes, that just reminded me, I have found that helpful as well, to just take a year and read a different translation that I've never read before. And some of those passages that you tend to just assume that you're familiar with, do sometimes a new wording, a new way of translating the phrase can make you stop and think, oh, that actually has a meaning that I didn't realize, and compare it with other translations. And if we don't know original languages, we have examples of very many people who do and see what was their opinion on how to translate this by comparing English translations. So that kind of goes probably with both methods, the overview method, where if you just read through another translation, and then for study, maybe pull up Logos or whatever you have access to, or just a paper copy of several different translations, and see how is this translated in English in different ways. And that will really give you insight into what the original means. And Jennifer, you had recommended a couple of plans.
My favorite Bible reading plan is called the Victory Bible Reading Plan. I think it's from the 1960s. The author was James McKeever, a pastor. The reason he called it the Victory Bible Reading Plan is mainly because of a recommendation that he gave, that you don't become obsessive about the check marks, and that if you miss, you don't try to catch up in the reading, but you move on to the reading for the day that is coming up. That doesn't fit completely with what we've been talking about making sure that you read every word of Scripture. But over time, if you continue to do a schedule, you will read every word of Scripture. But I found this particular advice very helpful, especially when I was a young mom. And there were days that I didn't finish, and it could become overwhelming if I had a lot of catch-up work to do and no time to do it. And I found his advice very helpful. But I also like that plan because it has you reading a psalm or a chapter in Proverbs every day through the year while you're reading chronologically through the Old Testament. And kind of like Jan's plan that she likes, it also has you reading in the New Testament at the same time. And I just found that to be just a very rich mix of the scriptures and still taking you through the Bible in a year. And I find that I get hungry for that Bible reading plan if I switch to something else like the chronological Bible. I just miss it. It is definitely my favorite, so I wanted to mention it.
Yeah, thank you. I'd never heard of that.
When I have had Bible reading schedules in the past, it was really helpful to me when I heard somebody suggest, well, you don't have to read it all in 1 year. You can spread it out over 2 years. And one man was talking about even taking 3 years to do his 1 year Bible reading schedule. And he did it so that he could understand and pay attention more closely instead of just trying to get your eyes over all the words, you know, in that chapter or those chapters for the day. And that was very freeing to me, too, when I started doing that a couple of times.
Yes, I remember when the realization dawned on me, you know what, you're not constrained by any date. Like, you can read the Bible between February 3rd and so along those lines, I always recommend the website BibleReadingPlanGenerator.com. And you just put in your goals and your time goals. And whether you want to, I think you can do a psalm a day. I'm not sure how, I don't remember all the options, but there are a lot of different options. You just click different checkboxes and then it prints out either a list or a calendar that is your own personalized Bible reading schedule. And you can do it by word count. So it won't just be three chapters or whatever. It'll be like a chapter based on the length of the chapter if you decide to do it that way. So Bible reading plan.
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah, BibleReadingPlanGenerator.com. Okay, so we've already talked about abandoning the schedule, or not abandoning it, but being loose with our schedule. If something is not serving maximum purpose, we don't have to be slaves to a schedule, but it is important that we are taking in all of Scripture is the main goal in any Bible reading schedule. So we'll move on to very practical habits and advice that these panelists might have for things that really motivated them to be faithful in reading and studying God's word each day, and really practical things that have helped, like when you had small children or a very busy schedule, what were some practical decisions you made that really enabled you to maximize your time in the word of God every day? I guess we'll start with Jennifer on this one.
Okay. My testimony is that when I was a young mom, and more stressors here in Cambodia in the early days of church planting were affecting our marriage. And I found myself in a complaining manner, wishing that my husband was more of a spiritual leader in our relationship. And through the scriptures, the Lord convicted me that I was not following well. And the area that I really felt like I needed to change was my Bible reading. It needed to come to where I was asking him for input on my walk with the Lord. And it seemed simple, but it wasn't something I had thought of before. So I actually asked him at that time if I could follow along with his reading plan. And it was so transformative that we still do it today. It's been about 20 years that most of the time I read along with his reading plan. But he's very kind. And at the beginning of the year, I do have a lot of input on what that reading plan will be. And we work on that together. But it changed so many things about our relationship. But what we're focusing on here today is what it did for my motivation about Bible reading. And since then, I've heard that reading in community is a great blessing to very many Christians. It doesn't have to be a husband. It can be other people in your church or family or team. But because someone else is reading the same thing that I am, it gives us the opportunity to discuss. And that has been amazing. It's very motivating on mornings when I may not feel like working to understand what I'm reading. And I know that someone else is going to ask me what I got out of that section that morning. And I could say so much more, but I'm going to stop there.
That's great. Laura?
I have probably two suggestions for this. And I think the first one is that you need to find out the thing that is stopping you from having the time that you want. So what is the big problem that's keeping you from that? I would say for almost all of us, if you ask anybody, why don't you spend more time in the Word of God? It's time. Like, I just don't have time. And so I think a lot of times what we have to do is we have to say, what is keeping us from having that time? And I found it very interesting. These ladies that I'm sitting with, they're so self-disciplined and they get a Bible reading schedule and they actually follow that Bible reading schedule. I don't think I ever have in my entire life ever followed a daily Bible reading schedule. I have one and it's like a suggestion, not a rule. And I'm like, you know, three extra chapters here and two minus chapters there. And the next day it's five more. And like three times a month or so, I check in and make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be. Like, it's so undisciplined. But when I was having young children, one of the problems was just like keeping track. What am I supposed to read today? And one of the things that solved that problem was that through the Bible in 1 year, like you can get a Bible that is actually a 1 year Bible and it has the different passages, but it's marked out by the day. And that solved that problem because all I had to do was find the day and open it up. And my brain didn't have to like keep track of Bible schedules or anything. I had all these little children. I think it was when I was had twins and I was like trying to feed them through the night and then like all this other stuff. And you just can't keep track of that much. Another thing that solved a problem for me was when I had babies that were up in the middle of the night. And with my second child, the thing that I did to solve that problem was on the early morning time when they would get up to eat, I would read my Bible then. It might have been 3 o'clock in the morning. It might have been four. It might have been five. But that was my time. And then I'd read during that time. And then I'd close my Bible and go back to bed until I had to get up for the day. And it was just like that was my Bible reading time whenever it fell during the night. But I think the other thing that really helps us to just really find that time is looking at our life with little bits of compartments. And this has helped me so much because I probably am naturally undisciplined. I have had to work hard to gain some discipline. And so I look at my life in compartments and that time of my morning before breakfast, that's my early morning time. Anything that I can do to clear that time of all the things I have to do during that time helps me to have more time in the Word of God. So if I can iron the night before, that clears that time. If I can help my children with chores after that time, that clears that time. So paring down all the stuff that must get done in that time, moving it to different sections of my life helps me to keep clean that compartment of time for reading the Bible. And so just like trying to work forward or work backwards in your schedule and shift your activities to a different compartment in your life really helps.
Yes, I'll let Jan have the last word on this one. I was just the most practical thing for me that it really changed my life in this area was going to bed early. I just read the other day a quote from a fitness instructor, and he said something like, if you want a ticket, an admissions ticket to the 5 a.m. wake up club, you have to have a receipt from the 9 p.m. bedtime club.
That is awesome.
And that I finally just surrendered my evenings to the Lord. That's when I got the most done. The kids were in bed. They weren't going to wake up at night, but they might wake up in the morning. I can't do the dishes then. And I just had to realize, like, what is more important, that I can clean the entire house while the kids are asleep or that I have a quiet time with the Lord? And I've somehow been able to rearrange my household chores to do it before the kids go to bed. And seasons do change in that regard. But actually deciding I'm going to set all this aside and go to bed changed everything about my personal devotional habits.
One thing that I thought of when Laura was speaking is that the people that I have looked at and asked about, you know, how disciplined they were, people who are very disciplined don't think that they are disciplined. None of us think that we are disciplined. And I
Amen.
Think that, and I think that's just lifelong. But you know, bottom line, what I would say is if you don't determine to make it a rigid habit, you may always struggle. And I've talked to people, adults who are older than I am, who struggle, have always struggled with being consistent in devotional life. When I was saved as a young adult, it was emphasized strongly to me the importance of daily Bible reading and prayer. And it became a habit. And I just relate it to brushing your teeth. If you can make yourself brush your teeth every day, you can make yourself read your Bible every day. You just do it. Now, I started at BJ in my college training because I transferred in the month of January. And I was so trying so hard to be rigid about this that I went into the freezing cold stairway at the end of my hall so I could have concentrated time that I felt I needed for quiet devotions. I used to think I was afraid of not having my devotions. It wasn't really afraid of not doing it. I just knew I was helpless without it. Jesus says in John 15, abide in me. We can't abide every other day or two or three or four times a week. Abide in me. Why? Without me, you can do nothing. Well, I prefer my teeth to be clean, and I don't feel right if they aren't. Neither do I feel right if I neglect my time with the Lord. You know, you can live through the day if you don't have your devotions, and things can go just fine. But if I do that, my efforts are wasted in God's sight. When I had young children, we had to think of ways to keep them quiet when they woke up earlier than we wanted them to. Nowadays, you have these okay-to-wake clocks. Have you ladies heard of these?
Yeah.
We didn't have those. So we just started teaching our children from a very young age, I'm talking two or so, 2 to 3, to have their own devotions, quote-unquote, like mom and dad. And it just started out with Bible picture books and puzzles just for a few minutes, and that would at least give us a brief time of quiet. And I will add that I think probably partly because of that, none of my kids have struggled with having regular devotions. I mean, personal devotions or family devotions. And I would just kind of halfway attribute that, or at least partly contribute to their early training in that area. You know, they just got used to that idea. That's just what you do in the morning when you get up. And one other very practical thing that I think we all are often have to struggle with is you have to mute your phone.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for preparing these answers for us. And I hope that you all listening were able to get some good ideas about maximizing your personal Bible times. But even if the information was already familiar to you, I know that the excitement that these ladies on the panel have about their own times with the Lord always stirs my heart when I hear them talk about it. And we all hope that you were encouraged and motivated as well to get all you can from your time spent in God's Word.